Hi, this is Don Flugenger, Executive Editor of Search CRM and Search Salesforce.
This is Jesse Scardino, News Writer for Search CRM and Search Salesforce.
And this is the Pipeline Podcast.
Welcome back.
Hey, it's been a while since we sat down and chatted about things going on in out there in the greater CRM world. But this edition is going to be kind of a look back at 2018 as it informs stuff we're going to be covering in 2019. And there's a lot of stuff going on.
There is. It was a very busy year for CRMs, CRM companies, CRM news, CRM products. There was several high-profile acquisitions made, new,
talk about those a little bit. I mean, everybody from Adobe to Salesforce.
Yeah,
grabbed up companies.
They were kind of the leaders this year. It was kind of an arms race going on between the two. Salesforce bought its second e-commerce platform called CloudCraze. This one focuses on B2B e-commerce. It already had a B2C e-commerce
in Demandware
a couple years ago. That was an acquisition. Adobe kind of countered by also buying an e-commerce tool, showing kind of how the synergy between buying online and customer experience and customer relationship management are all kind of converging together. But then each company kind of outdid itself with a couple other purchases. The Salesforce acquired an integration company called MuleSoft for nearly $7 billion to really help with data integration from third-party applications that plug into Salesforce. And like I said, not to be outdone, Adobe bought Marketo for, God, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, in the $4 billion range,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
Which definitely gives it a formidable product to compete against Salesforce's Marketing Cloud.
Well, that MuleSoft acquisition, it was crazy because they said on the outside, you know, their forward-facing messaging to us and users is that it will help customers better able to integrate outside data and this,
right,
and that and the other thing. And you can use more tools. It makes the Salesforce platform more extensible. But to a man, when you talk to the analysts and other people who aren't on the record, it's really the purchase of MuleSoft was to help stabilize the relationships between Salesforce Marketing Cloud and Service Cloud and Sales Cloud because they had a hard time integrating it themselves, and also customers had a hard time integrating data between the clouds together into one sort of master customer data platform.
Right. It helps solve both of those issues, and I think that's why the price tag was so high. It was far and away the largest acquisition Salesforce has ever made. And to your point, they set up both the integration cloud, which is kind of that product to help integrate with third-party tools. But at Dreamforce, they also unveiled Customer 360, which is a product that, like you said, helps Salesforce customers integrate and share data within the Salesforce clouds themselves, which a lot of those have been built out of acquisitions. Its Marketing Cloud was built out of ExactTarget, I think back in 2013 or so.
Right.
Commerce Cloud was built out of Demandware. So when you buy products, it's that integration takes some time, and there's some difficulty there, and Salesforce is hoping that this solves it.
Well, interestingly, you know, Acquia was super happy to see both Magento and MuleSoft be acquired, not because it eliminated competition, but because Acquia is built on open source.
Right.
And when IBM buys Red Hat, Salesforce buys MuleSoft, and Adobe buys Magento, it really is a validation of
open source
commercial software, commercially viable software that companies like IBM are going to be selling to conservative banks and other huge customers.
Right.
And it's like, if IBM is selling this thing that started out as open source, you know, that just, the tide lifts all ships.
Sure.
And when Adobe is paying all that money for Magento and Salesforce, its biggest acquisition is an open source, you know, a company with open source beginnings in MuleSoft, that just validates
validation, yeah,
Acquias exist. So anyway, that's fascinating too. It's almost like a subplot that, you know what, open source stuff isn't that crazy and out there or rinky-dink. It is legit. It has arrived and it has commercial viability.
No customer wants to use just one software vendor, and the easiest way to get those to the different vendors to talk to each other is open APIs, open source programming and code, and having the data be able to be shared throughout.
That's a really good point.
One of the other key features that we saw in 2018 beyond all these acquisitions was the impetus being put on customer experience rather than just customer management. And you saw this at many conferences you went to, many stories you did, same with myself. And you, during our prep for this, you brought up the idea of, is the experience more important than the actual goods or services that companies sell? And I actually remember earlier this summer an Adobe briefing that I had where they said that exact thing, that the experience now for consumers in 2018, the modern consumer prefers a better experience over a better product. And I'm sure that's something you've seen as well, right?
Yes, we've been hearing it from many different vendors, hire research firms and research firms on their own. And it turns out that, well, it seems like it's a generational thing. Generation X is sort of in between, but you know, the boomers and the Xers are not so sold on this. But then the millennials, Generation Z, and all those younger generations than me are
even finding, younger than me at some point.
They're finding out that they want something that's convenient and easy to buy, and it's not necessarily that the product or service is less important. It's just that products and services are so the same now.
Right.
They cost the same, and many of them are very similar qualities. So
it's a differentiator is the experience.
Right, and the convenience of buying and the convenience of returning and the hassle of making sure the credit card gets credited when it needs to be credited or charged properly without extra inconvenient stuff, right. That has become more of a priority to people.
I think it was Salesforce that earlier this year released a subscription tool, a subscription selling tool within its Sales Cloud that helps with companies that want to sell subscription-based products. And it's that type of convenience that consumers are looking for, and that's where these companies are trying to fill the needs there.
Well, so that leads to something else too. When we're talking about customer experience versus CRM, when companies like SAP and Oracle rebrand their CRM as CX tools, at first we're wondering maybe they just don't want to compete with Salesforce anymore, and so they're calling their thing something different. But maybe not. Maybe the customer experience is going to be the big thing of 2019.
See, I see this. I see them this as aligning themselves to compete directly with Salesforce a little. Maybe compete with them a little better in this case, especially with SAP. They weren't shy at their user conference Sapphire in June, I believe, where they unveiled their new revamped CRM product, C4HANA. Which takes also several acquisitions that they've made over the past couple of years and really brings together a customer experience platform that it hopes its users will adopt and help it grow out of just back office use and into the front office. And that's one of the areas where SAP actually has an advantage, is they are probably the market leader in ERP and back office applications. And there's useful data there too for companies. And if they can combine that with customer-facing data, then it can be a difference maker. And you mentioned Oracle too, and they're trying the same thing. They have years and years of acquisitions and legacy products and new products that they need to tie together. And they unveiled their CX tool called CX Unity at their annual conference in October, which is a similar thing to Customer 360 from Salesforce, where they want to make it easier for their customers to move data around as seamlessly as possible.
Yeah, Jesse, you make a great point. I found it interesting, though, when I talked to, and this is happening on both the content management and the CRM side, that especially in places like call centers and whatever, where legacy software has lived for years because of the cloud and APIs and these integration things we talked about earlier. Many companies are looking at maybe breaking out of that integrated stack, the integrated SAP stack, the integrated Salesforce stack, the integrated Oracle stack, and going back to best of breed, because they got to rip and replace and they're moving stuff to the cloud anyway. And maybe they like, you know, Salesforce's tool for one thing and SAP's tool for ERP. And maybe there's a proprietary vendor, you know, in the call center, for example, that everybody knows and all the agents have used for the last 5 years.
That they
and,
like.
And ripping the integrated stacks call center tool is a nightmare to train on. So now I'm seeing the potential for more mix and match, best of breed, and stuff like that. It's like it's the cloud and open APIs are liberating companies, enterprise IT stacks that have sort of been locked in to one vendor, sometimes up to 20 years.
We actually talked about this offline a little bit, and it's something I think technology vendors are hoping happens, but also at the same time, it could affect them negatively with the idea of better integrations with all third-party products and data being able to flow smoothly between them. It does potentially make your customers happy, but also might make it easier for them to move on from you and license someone else and finally get off your that legacy system that they've been on for 20 years because they have slowly moved everything to the cloud and now it's easier to maneuver about. So that's something we talked about that I'm interested to see in 2019, if an unintended consequence of opening up the ability to share data might lead to more movement of customers, and that could negatively affect some vendors that might lose some license fees that they've had for years and years.
Well, good for the customers, because we've heard whispers that some vendors' e-commerce systems are really bad. They don't fit into the integrated stack, and they don't play well with the marketing piece of that vendor's offering, and then another company's marketing automation tool might be weak and doesn't speak with Eloqua or Marketo or, you know, Pardot as well as it could. And so giving our readers and their customers the opportunity to mix and match vendors as they please is only going to make competition better, and it'll force these companies that have weak links in their chain to improve them. So hey, at the end of every pipeline, we talk about where we're going next. Now, I'm not going to travel until February or even March, but you have a new show you've never been to. You're
potentially
going to in January.
Yes, we're still working on getting the media pass secured, but we're trying to get to the National Retail Foundation.
NRF, the big show.
Yeah.
And I've been familiar with this in past jobs I've had. And it is quite the circus where every retailer brings out every new product they are going to promote. But, of course, we're interested in
the tech that they're using.
The AI. There's plenty of software stories. Last year, AI was the thing, and I'm sure it's going to be the thing this year. But how are the bricks-and-mortar retailers going to compete with their online-only counterparts that don't have the overhead? How are they going to use the data they're getting in their stores
to their advantage?
Yeah, to take on these brands that are popping up everywhere. And I think that's going to be a very interesting and relevant story that you're going to be chasing down.
It is, and it's a really interesting type of conference where most of the conferences we go to are vendor-run with a bevy of customers there. Whereas this one, all of the presenters and the people in the companies that are running it are technology customers themselves. So there's no specific vendor there we have in mind. I'm interested just to see how some of these large enterprise retail companies have maintained their position and how they've innovated and how they've kind of evolved as this retail landscape has changed, which you could argue that the retail landscape has changed more than any other industry with the advancements of some of these technologies.
Absolutely. Well, hey, it's been great. Here's to an awesome 2019, Jesse.
You as well, Don.